Hello and welcome to a long-awaited Mike M's Weekly Reads. I just basically got tired from work and couldn't get to recording. Essentially, get home late, grab some dinner. After dinner, watch an episode of Yellowstone. Do the dishes. Pass out and then start and rinse and repeat. So it's been my life lately. And then sometimes in the middle of the night, dreaming about work, I can't sleep. And then I get up and read a couple comics. So that's like my reading time is trying to decompress during the weekday because I can't sleep. And then on the weekend, I read a lot. But I was just on the IMs with Bob Bretall, who is the Guinness Book of World's Record holder for having the most recorded comic book collection. And I was just chatting him up and asking him if my comic base would do what I wanted it to do. And I know you can make custom fields, so I could say, oh, I want this to be the box number, and then I can assign it like box one or two or whatever the heck it is. But because my collection is so large, the merge of the boxes to get the titles together under title has become very ridiculous. Like it's unmanageable. And I know what he did on, because I've been to his house and I've seen the size of his collection. And when you do the Guinness Book of World Records, you get audited and you have to know where everything is. So, like, they might say Spider-Man 149 just randomly. And you have to know that it's in box AF or whatever. I don't know if he labeled by alphanumerics or how he labeled. Even though I was there, I didn't pay attention to it. And you go to that box, you pull it out, and say, here it is. And they often use his collection too from like Toshin. Toshin puts together like the Marvel and DC comic Bibles and stuff like that. And sometimes they need comic reference material for pictures and such. So they'll call upon Bob to put that, request in. And then he actually mails them at their cost, of course, the book, so they could get the scans in of the way they want, and then at some point they mail that back to him, and in exchange for all that hard work that he does, Toshin sends him like free books, like here's this release of the Star Wars thing, or here's this release of the Marvel's book, or Amazing Spider-Man, or whatever. He get copies of that for as compensation. But I was thinking about doing something very similar. And in Comic Base, you have custom fields, so you could say box and then let's give it an assignment. But the problem is, I haven't contacted Comic Base yet, but I'm pretty sure they're going to tell me, oh, you can't do that. But what I want to do is assign the box to the books I just scanned in. Because I almost fill a half box of comics a week. So what I would like to do is go into the process of scanning all the boxes, all the items in company and alphabetical order, with Marvel and DC in the front, and then the back half of the books. And I usually file all Kickstarters under K. alphabetically and I put them in a box. But what I want to do is scan them all in, and while I'm scanning them, assign the box number, and that field is not available. So I was asking Bob if I could do that, and he didn't scan books when he was using Comic Base, which I think is what he used when he got the world's record. But Comic Base pissed him off because somehow there was a problem in one of their updates. They lost some of the tracking mechanism and then didn't say it was their fault. And then later on, when he moved off to CLZ, they said, oh yeah, we had a bug and we fixed it. So he was long gone by then. So he's off on CLZ World. But they did him wrong because of customer service, essentially. And kind of like pointing the finger back at him, which was bad. So I'm going to generate an email to customer service. I'm not going to switch. That's too much work. I saw what he went through. I don't have time for that shit. It's just not worth it. And I kind of like the fact that, at least with this database, I know it's on my PC. I upload it to the cloud, but it's under my control. It's not on the cloud, so I can control the database. And if they ever go out of business, I can still use it. Yeah, it won't be as nice because of their... The one thing that they do is they weekly scan, have all that new comic book stuff, all the metadata for every new comic book that comes out every week, and trades, minus the Epic collections. I have to enter in those manually and then give it to them. But they have it, but the Epic collections are an example of me inputting data so they benefit. But all the other comic data is there on a weekly download. There's this thing called Sidekick, and it runs in the background as long as your comic base is not up. And it goes to the database periodically and says, are there updates? Are there updates? If there are updates, it goes and downloads that. After it downloads all the metadata for the database, well, first it compresses it, so it makes it optimal. Then it downloads the content of that database weekly entry. All the metadata that goes along with that comic book, issue number, writer, artist, all that data, editor, everything that's there. And then what it does, after it's downloaded all the metadata, it says, oh, I have all these pictures that have been scanned in, and they're available. So it'll download all the weekly comic book pictures. So when they mouse over the picture, the comic book enlarges, and then you can see the comic book. But that's how that works. And I just want to send them they'll probably say no, and we have no plans for doing that. But I'm going to write up a little paragraph, explain the situation to him. Let's see if Pete Bickford, who's the developer, answers, or if one of his minions does. But I'm not going to switch because they say, no, I can't do that. I'll just figure out something else to do. I just would like to be able to do that. That way, when I go and say, like, I'll have to retrofit everything else that's been done to it, and that's 88,000 comic books at one point. But then I never have to merge it. But then I know exactly what box it's in. I could say, you know, box 121. Oh, that has my Spawn number 4. And box, that might drive some people crazy. Like, people that have collections. But some of those collections are small, and it's easy to do a merge. But a merge requires extra boxes. It requires you pulling comics out of a box and putting it into another box until you can get them all in order. And that's very time consuming. And that part of the job is not fun. And it's bad on the back, depending on how many you're doing a day, which I don't like to do. The merge is my least favorite thing of comic book collecting. And I don't know other people that... But with the size of collection and the size of data that I get, it is a nasty process. And I'm not doing it anymore. And I'm kind of already converted over to this other style, which is more complex. But, yeah, I'm going to draft up a paragraph, send it to him. See what he says. He'll probably say, no, we don't have that feature. And that's what I'm expecting. It has a lot of fields that come in on the scanning interface. but not anything where I can, like, say I'm going to drag and drop a custom field into it, which I'd like to do. And the other thing that's going on is Harley had an infection on her lip, and it was infected, and we took her to the vet last weekend. But the bad news is the good news is her infection is getting under control, but she is acting really lethargic. So I did research on prednisone, and they say it causes lethargic. So I'm hoping, as her dosage goes down this coming week, that she starts acting sort of normal. Like today, she didn't even want to go for a walk. I took her on one walk, but the next walk in the afternoon, when the sun is shining, like she's usually all over it, she didn't want to go. She just stares and looks at me. So I don't know. It's killing me that she's doing that, because I love to go walks with Harley, but hopefully she gets off this prednisone and amoxicillin soon, and we can just go on with our normal routines. And I didn't even ask Alexa, shut up! I didn't ask you anything. Did I say anything that sounded like that? I just hate when she does that. But the other thing that's going on is I went to the LCS today to get my weekly shipments. He's losing a lot of money because I can't dive in. He gets so many new books, and he's gotten into this lazy protocol where he leaves the new books on top of the back issues and lets people shop off the boxes. But the problem is I can't get to the boxes where I want to look. At least not easily. So it's saving me some money. But the other thing he mentioned to me last week is he said, did you know there's a brand new shop, about 3 miles from here? And I was like, huh, no, I didn't know. So after I left his shop today, I asked him a little bit about it. And he said, I hear there's a lot of crap, old books, and not a lot of new content, and it's not but the key that stuck me out is a lot of crap, because I love a lot of crap books that nobody cares about. That's what I go to. So what I was going for is to find out if they had any 90s crap, which I absolutely love. It's the books that are usually $1 or $2.50 that I find gold. But I decided to go, and I found it. I had to do some U-turns and such because I didn't know what I was looking for. I didn't even know the name of the shop. I didn't even know where it was. I just knew the road it was on. But it's not far from my house, so I found it. The display on the store said Vault something or another. It looked like a pretty cool logo. I went in the store. The guy said hi, but he was talking to two other dudes. Didn't look like they were buying anything. They were just shooting the shit. And I saw the boxes that were supposedly of crap. His new material wasn't good, though. It's like, I don't know what client he's marketing to. If it's his old books that he's selling, it's very interesting. Because, you know, I was looking for, like, 90s stuff. So I found Chastity and I found Chaos Comics, but they were the Dynamite ones. So they weren't like 90s. They were like the new stuff, which I already buy and I already have. And then he had like 10 boxes of Zenoscope, which is all fine because I love Zenoscope, but I'm not looking for that because for the most part, I buy all of Zenoscope. Like, there's nothing that I missed. There might be some early Grim Fairy Tales and maybe a couple of minis, but for at least 10 years, I've been buying Zenoscope pretty damn religiously. Because I was introduced to Grim Fairy Tales through a trade. And me and my wife both read it, and I said, damn, this is pretty good stuff. And then I started to buy it. And then when Rationale clicked in and I was like, you don't got time to read this. I sort of dropped off, but then went back and picked it up again. Because logic never, as an engineer, you have logic and your brain is like working through problems logically. But when it comes to comics, I just don't have any logic working in that brain. I just want to consume and read every comic book I possibly can. But it had a bunch of Zenoscope and Dynamite. And then he had like these real obscure statues that were Dynamite. So I don't like know who this guy is or if he's selling his collection at this store. But it's very Dynamite related. Very Zenoscope. He had a bunch of Mego figures, which, I mean, they're newer Mego, but those are cool. And I would be all over that if I had any room for toys anymore, because those Mego dolls I absolutely freaking adore. But it was a clean store, I'll give him that. And there was a back room that he has blocked off, and I kind of like looked in there. And there looked like there was like another 50 long boxes of stuff, but it was blocked off. Like you couldn't get back there, and I wasn't going to say, oh, is this, can I go back there and look at stuff? He had magazines too, which is very weird for a new store to me. And he had like Fangoria and Horror and all these ones that you see in previews, but you don't see comic stores usually have. And he had, like, all the Vampirella retro cover. I mean, the ones, what do they call them, facsimile magazines, which I've already bought. But it was just an interesting display of material that I don't know who he's catering to, because he is right side outside of an Air Force base. But I don't know, like, what his market is or what he's trying to do. But that was an interesting experience. I didn't end up purchasing anything. I didn't see anything that was obscure or weird that I would want. And there was like one title that I never heard of, but he only had like issue 2 of it. And I'm like, do I want to go in this if I only have issue 2? Because then I'd have to go to my comic shop and get the rest of it. Knowing my crazy way my brain works. So that happened. I'm going to talk about some books that I just recently got. I finally got a Fist of Justice Kickstarter. Fist of Justice, I came across at a convention a long time ago. And what it was is like, it was written so much like a Bronze Age superhero comic. And I really liked it. And then a few of them were solicited in previews, and that kind of went away. Well, it was coming from Digital Webbing, who's no longer in previews, but there's a Kickstarter to get Trade 1 and Trade 2, and then Issue 8. And he also threw in a, looks like a magnetic card, or metallic card. It's a Kickstarter exclusive foil card. So that looks pretty cool. Some of the other things that I got was Fantastic Four Annual Number 6. And what's special about this is it's the first Annihilus. I also got an Annual Number 10 of Fantastic Four. Nothing special there. It does feature a reprint of the Wedding of Sue and Reed. And then I got Giant Size Fantastic Four. This is not an annual, but it Marvel put out a lot of Giant Size blah blah blah, you know, titles. And you think it would be a reprint, but this was not a reprint. I got these from Aaron Myers. This one, it's probably a VG, maybe a fine minus, but I would say a VG just because of the way I grade. He posted another one that looks immaculate. But what is special about Giant Size Fantastic Four number 4? It's the first appearance of Madrox the Multiple Man. So if you're a fan of Jamie from X-Factor and some of the other stuff he's been into, this is his first appearance. It's also the first appearance of Franklin Richards. So that's very important in my eyes. So those were some great pickups. I'm going to walk over to my other stack. On eBay, I'm like 6 issues away, maybe, well, 7 if you include, 8 issues away if you include the annuals, of completing my Marvel team-up run. And I picked up a really nice copy for a great price of Marvel team-up number 2. So I was very happy to pick that up. I also picked up, I realized when I was talking to somebody about Iron Man on Twitter, I realized, God, you're so close to completing Iron Man. And I was spotlighting Moondragon. If you follow me on Twitter, I do a daily, sometimes twice daily, post where I state comics from my collection, number, whatever number post I'm on, and then I say spotlighting X, and I spotlighted Moondragon because I think Moondragon is awesome, man. I think she's an amazing character. She's bald, she's sexy. I realized I didn't have Iron Man number 54, which is not, it's her said first appearance, but her name is not Moondragon at that time. Her name is Madam McEvil. But I didn't have this appearance, and the cover doesn't have her on it. But it has Submariner punching Iron Man in the face. And I remember reading this. And I can't remember where the hell I read it. Did I read it as an Epic Collection? What did I read? Did I read it off of a random read on Marvel Unlimited? But I remembered reading it. But anyway, that was another great pickup. The first appearance of Moondragon. And then I got a bunch of Tales of Suspense. And I'm getting close to finishing the Iron Man and Captain America run of Tales of Suspense. Just some of the ones that I picked up, and not in order. I got 93, where I think it's the first appearance, second appearance of Half-Face. But it has the Titanium Man, Power versus Power. 85 features the Mandarin blasting Iron Man in chains with his rings. Number 90 features Captain America and Red Skull, and it's called "And Men Shall Call Him Traitor," an epic staggering your senses, the most incredible crime of all time. And it looks like Red Skull is stealing a city. I picked up, those are really good condition. I'm fine, I would say. A VG copy of number 83. That looks like he's fighting Titanium Man, but I don't think it is. But it's Iron Man two-fisting, well, using both fists, like in a grasping fist to make one fist, and smacking this guy upside the face. I picked up Thor 164. I picked up 136. I misposted on Twitter that 136 of Thor was Lady Sif's first appearance. The reason I did that is because my database said it was, but it's a bad in the database because somebody caught me on that on Twitter. and said it was Journey into Mystery 102 or something to that effect. So when that happened, I immediately went to look at Journey of the Mystery and see if I had that issue, and I did. So I was like, oh, good, I already have Lady Sif. But I'm very close to completing my Thor collection, so this wasn't really specifically targeted at Lady Sif, but that was a positive that came out of it. Then there's Amazing Spider-Man number 70. This is the first appearance of Vanessa Fisk, Kingpin's woman. And I think it's the first appearance of somebody else. Very minor, by the way. This is I picked up from Harvey Comics. 25-cent issue. Fighting American by Jack Kirby, Joe Simon. This is a reprint of some of the original tales with the origin story. I picked up House of Secrets, number 96. I have every Adventure Comics since 1973, and I'm going beyond that. I'm starting to get some of the Legion stuff and some of the Supergirl stuff. This is Adventure Comics 412, and it has Supergirl and one of her... Supergirl always changes her costume. This is a very unique one. She's got pants, and you can't see an ounce of her skin, which is probably more appropriate. But looks like she's in a court, and these guys have a woman strung up on not a cross, but like an X. And some guy at the lead of the court is saying, complete your victory. This might be like a coliseum. I think this is a coliseum, the way this is presented, not a court. He says, complete your victory, Supergirl. Destroy the loser or we will kill your friend. And her friend is the one that's tied up. It says, new Supergirl adventure, battle for survival, plus the man with animal powers. I picked up the Comet Red Circle, number issues 1 and 2. Those were for my comic shop. I don't know what I did when I picked these up. Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. 8 and 9. I don't remember ordering them. I got to be more careful with Aaron to make sure I get the right stuff. But I already had these, and I'm usually really good about, like, when I'm buying stuff from Aaron Myers about, you know, not doing it off the cuff. In other words, seeing something on my phone and, well, I need to get this. I usually come back to my database, verify I have it in stock or if I need it, and then claim it. I picked up a ton of Tales to Astonish. This one I didn't have as much of as the Tales of Suspense. But this is Giant Man and Hulk, and then Submariner later. So this is number 69, which features Giant Man and Hulk. See old green skin trapped in the lair of the leader. And as for High Pockets, find out what he's wondering. Oh, Wasp, where is thy sting? I like that. There is 78, which has Submariner on the cover. It looks like somebody's playing with him, like a puppet master, the prince and the puppet. Puppet Master is drawn really weird. It doesn't look like the Fantastic Four puppet master. Cover 87 has the Hulk fighting some weird bald dude. And he only has shorts, but they're falling from the sky, and it says, at last, the secret the Hulk revealed for all the world to see. This one has an interesting corner, though. It has an ad on the side of a building that says, they're on TV, Marvel Superheroes. So it's like advertising the cartoon at the same time. Got number 88, which has... Submariner fighting a Tuma. At least it looks like a Tuma. It's not a Tuma. Number 88, and there's an iron dude in the water, I guess, that's watching it, which is very odd. You think he'd rust and pass out. We got 89. This is Then shall come a stranger, and this is the, if you look up Marvel Comics and your Muhatmu, you'll see, you can look up the Stranger and see what this guy looks like. He's been around. Got number 94, which has another bald guy. He looks like the same guy that Hulk was fighting on the previous issue, except this time he's getting ready to toss Namor. Prince Namor helpless at the hands of Dragor. And then we got Tales to Astonish, number 95. It says, go, go, Hulk. And this has the High Evolutionary doing some experiments on Bruce Banner. And, like, the Hulk is sort of coming out of his body, which is interesting. It's like when Doctor Strange leaves his body. You know, that's kind of like what's happening there. We got number 96, which has the Submariner on the cover, featuring the pounding power of Prince Namor. Somewhere stands Skull Island. And then 97. This has the Hulk on it. And it says, introducing the Legion of Living Lightning. And the Hulk is punching some machine. So those are some recent pickups. And another Kickstarter I got is issue 9 of Eerie. And I picked up this Dynamite Diva. It's a big, big-ass trade. And the art is so weird. It's created by Jasper Juvenilville, but looking through it, man, it's right up my fucking alley. The art style is very unique. It looks like Betty Boop kind of art. It's very interesting. But anyway, those are some recent pickups. I think I have time for one question because this is going on pretty long. So let's get over to bookmarks. And let's scroll down to the last one that I see. And it's not from Ed Piskor. Dallo Spicer asks about recommending one story arc for the following characters. Oh, I answered that totally wrong, Dallo, in the last one. I mentioned a bunch of story arc. You said just one story arc. That's near impossible for me to answer outside of Batman, because I remember all those, like, Knight's Fall, Knight's Quest, No Man's Land. But you mentioned DD. I have a full run of Daredevil. And I don't read by arc, so it's like I don't know. Because I don't read in trade, I read single issues, so it's all one big... I mean, definitely Frank Miller is where I would point you to for Daredevil, but that's what 99% of the people would point you to, I think, first. You mentioned Born Again. I think that is Frank Miller. I liked the Kevin Smith Daredevil quite a bit. The Ed Brubaker is also fantastic, as is the Brian Michael Bendis. Chip Zdarsky. There's been some great... There's the Mark Waid run, if you like a lighter tone Daredevil. So there's a lot. And I might have answered that already. The Punisher? One of the arcs that I really enjoyed, because I'm an Eric Larson fan, are the Eric Larson Dunn issues. And that was an arc. And maybe I can find that arc. I think it was in Punisher proper. I don't know if it, like, jumped the ship. Why is it saying Canadian? I don't want to be on Canadian. See if I can keep scrolling down until I see Eric Larson. And I don't. I almost have a full run of Punisher, but there are a few towards the end that I'm missing. And I thought it was Punisher. Maybe it's Punisher Warzone. I'll have to check that. But there was an Eric Larson run that I really enjoyed. And I'm not sure where that is. Just trying to scan it like really fast. And I'm not seeing it. Oh, I do. Okay, here we are. So there's an arc there by Mike Baron with art by Eric Larson. And I'm going to be biased because, Dallo, you know how much I put on a pedestal Savage Dragon and Eric Larson and Todd McFarlane and Rob Liefeld and Walls Portasio and all those creators that formed Image. This was a great run because I read it fairly recently. We covered it on Geek Brunch, but it was issues 20 through issues 25 of the Punisher ongoing. Before that was the Punisher miniseries, 1987, that ran from 1987 to 1995. But that's what I'll recommend for the Punisher. But there's a lot of good Punisher stories. There's a lot of good Jason Aaron Max stories from the Punisher. This series is pretty amazing. I love the first Punisher ongoing. It's just really good. Punisher Warzone is also good. Punisher War Journal has got Jim Lee stuff in there. There's amazing stuff in this stuff that I'd recommend. That's how I'll stop with that and Punisher. I might have done Daredevil twice just because I wasn't concentrating on where I left off on the previous one. And I said I would get back to... the next one is Any Valiant. I might as well just finish this one and then be done with it. The Valiant, I'd go to the first arc of the VH1 Exo Man of War, the first story arc of Shadow Man, the first story arc of Magnus, Solar. They're all just amazing launches. Archer and Armstrong, my favorite. That's my favorite. By far. That's what actually got me into the Valiant universe was Archer and Armstrong. Number Zero, when Unity was launching, and that's when I came on is during Unity. So I started reading Unity and I said, what is this company? I knew Wizard was sort of talking about it and I didn't think about it, but I picked up my first copy from there was a comic shop right across the university. And they don't exist anymore, but it was there. And I loved going to that comic shop. I'd love going across the street eating Chinese or McDonald's after an exam and then heading over to the comic shop to decompress. And then I would take, I'd buy like four or five comics, even though I had a pull list at another store. I'd buy these. Things that I wasn't getting at the other store just to see what they were. I'd take them over to the library before I started studying for another exam or getting some homework done. And before I did that, I would just sit there and read. And I read Archer and Armstrong, and I'm like, oh my God, what is this Unity thing? Why gotta be part of it? And then the obsession came on that I had to go and complete everything beyond it. And one of the things, Barb is my wife now, but we weren't married in college. We were still together. But one of my birthdays, she brought me Magnus Robot Fighter number 12, I think it was the first appearance of Turok, for like $100. She did that for me. And back then, $100 was a lot of money. And that was very, very special. I said, I got to keep this woman. This is one not to let go of. But she knew since we first started dating, she'd go to my room and see all these comic boxes. And in my room, you couldn't ever see ceiling, or you could not see an ounce of wall that was not covered in poster, these little cloth posters that they used to sell that used to hang on a string. They were all over my room. My closet had all those Marvel stickers that you'd buy all over it. My back of my door covered in stickers. So she knew what she was getting into. She knew my obsession for comic book material was all there. She knew my love for the medium and everything that it meant to me. But that, you know, I've enjoyed a lot of the new Valiant. I enjoyed some parts of Acclaim, you know. Like, I thought the Shadow Man Acclaim was phenomenal. I actually like Zero more. I became more attached to his method of violence and what he was. I just enjoyed the universe, and I enjoyed being part of something at the start, and it was like what Marvel was to a lot of the people in the 60s, you know, like it felt like you were there at the beginning, and their continuity meant something, and it was just a fun ride, because I wasn't there when Marvel and DC launched. I was there in the 70s, you know, way after things happened, and I would just buy what I could. Sporadic comic books, and a lot of times it was buying whatever comic. I couldn't buy multiple comics, but I'd buy one that had the most heroes on the cover. I did buy some weird horror comics. I don't know what I was thinking. Really spooky stuff like ghosts and DC stuff. But yeah, that was. I bought some weird stuff. I bought a lot of military comics because when I was a kid, you know, playing with Army Man was like a big thing. So I hope that answers your question, Dallo. I'm sorry I didn't remember any like story arc themes or point you to exact issues, but I did give you creators. So hopefully that wraps up your question. Kirk Spencer asked one question here, so I'm going to delete this one because I finished it. So what is it? Where's the delete? Unmark, remove bookmarks. So that one's done. Kirk asks, if you are running the big two, do you continue with frequent relaunches, restore legacy numbers, or just let titles build from wherever they currently are? You were asking a guy that wants to keep comics being published. So, having said that, money means everything, and it's my job to make money. So, as much as I'd want to keep legacy number, just keep on going, it's because now it's my job. I'm not as a fan. As a fan, I want numbering to keep on going and every issue to keep on growing and no relaunches. But now you're saying I'm running the big two. I'm going to do whatever makes money. And if it means going 25 issues and relaunching and then making more money, I'm going to do whatever I can to keep my job. So I hope that answers your question. I'm not going to necessarily do what I would want to do, but I would do what the trend tells me to do. And usually the trend, if you ever look at sales like I used to look at, is that you launch high and each issue just deprecates and goes down and down. Walking Dead's an exception, but there's very few exceptions. It just declines and declines with every issue. So that hence you relaunch it again and then it goes back up and then it declines and declines. So yes, that's what I would try to keep excitement the best I could, like Peter David did. When Peter David was writing the Hulk, he would watch the numbers of sales numbers and he would say, oh crap, the numbers are going down. What should I do? Oh, Barb's telling me to call. So I'm going to get back to that question in a second, and I'm going to pause this recording. So that didn't last long. I didn't need to place an order for food. I thought I did, but it was for something else. So I'm back now, and back to Glenn's question. No, it wasn't Glenn. Why did I say Glenn? Let me go back. I have to click on bookmarks again. And scroll down. It was Kirk that asked that. So, Kirk, I don't go where the heart is if it's my job. I go where I can keep my job and make money because that's what Marvel wants to do. That's what DC wants to do. So, I continue probably down the path that they're doing. I hate to break your heart, but unless I own the company, I wouldn't want to control. And even if I did own it, I'd want to do the most successful numbers to keep my employees happy. So it might not be the answer you want, but it's the answer you deserve. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I hope you listen to this episode. You probably won't. You got a lot of things on your te- I don't know if you'll ever hear the answer, but maybe Joe or somebody that does listen to it will tell you the answer. But thank you for the question. So thank you, Dallo, as always. And thank you for the questions, Kirk. So, the next thing is the next part of the show, which is calculating what I read. And I hadn't done it yet, so I'm going to pause it again and do some calculations. I might only do 1 week. I talked a lot. I'm almost hit the hour mark, and I'm getting tired. I'd like to do 2 weeks, but it just depends on what the load is. Because I want to read some comics before Barb gets here. All right, welcome back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. We're going to go over some totals for January 17th, 2022 to January 23rd, 2022. Does that sound right? Yep, I guess so. So we'll start with what I watched that week. Was watching Coyote Lake. That was a coyotes, I think, are people that help people cross the border, or they're the ones that are brought across the border. It's one or the other. Well, this is a story where the people that take advantage of the Mexicans that are crossing a border, there's a mother and a daughter. Who the daughter's played by the girl from Veronica from Riverdale. But anyway, they draw in these white men that are abusing people and they slaughter them. But they don't really help the Mexicans who are coming across because they could use room and board and food. They don't. The daughter often does. But then they get caught up in a scenario. And then they take the bodies and dump them in the lake. That's why you get Coyote Lake. I don't remember where I watched that. It might have been Amazon. Might have been Netflix. Not sure. But I did watch it. I think it was Amazon. Because I usually go on these weird streaks. The Book of Boba Fett was a 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed that. That might have been the finale, what I rated, or it might have been before the finale, because I don't ever record episodes. I just put what I watched. Force of Nature. This was an interesting thing. I think it was in Puerto Rico when there was a flood, and there's this awful person there that takes advantage of the flood situation. And he knows about an ex-Nazi guy that has all this art, and he's going to raid this art. But in that building is a guy, Mel Gibson, who won't leave, and his daughter who's taking care of him because she's a nurse. And there's also a neighbor who has a fucking tiger in his closet, or one of the bedrooms. And it comes out to a very crazy ass story, but that was on Amazon. I watched Honest Thief. That is a 5 out of 5. That was a Liam Neeson, and I have become such a Liam Neeson fan because he's old and he's an action hero, and I'm old. I'll never do what Liam Neeson does, but I enjoyed the story. This guy is about it's about a bank robber that robs these banks and pulls off these millions of dollars of bank robbery continuously. And then he decides to sort of retire and fall in love with this woman that he meets at a storage unit where he stores the money. And he tries to, later on when he gets engaged to the woman, you know, they're going to get married. He's like, I got to be honest. I got to tell her. And he decides he might tell the FBI about what he's done, but nobody believes him. And when they send a group of two guys from the FBI, they're corrupt. They decide to take the money on their own, and they say that nobody will ever believe this guy, and we'll get the money, and all hell breaks loose. That's Honest Thief. So for the comic books, I had a good distribution, but not a lot read. It's a pathetic 22 comics that week. 4 Source Point Press, 1 Scout, 1 Red 5, 6 Marvel, 2 Image, 2 IDW, 1 Binge, 2 AWA, 1 Antarctic, 1 American Mythology, and 1 Ablaze. So as in terms of a distribution, it was a good distribution of comics. It just, like, not a lot read, unfortunately. So we'll start with the 3 out of 5s. We have Good Boy, number 1 and 2. What this was, I rated a 3 out of 5. It was enjoyable, but it was too much like John Wick. This is like the inverse John Wick if the dog was the one that survived and John Wick died. That is sort of what this Source Point Press is about. The other 3 out of 5 was another Source Point Press book called Rise of Dracula. The vampires have taken over Washington, D.C. Later, at a vampire rave, a bunch of religious redeemers attack the vampire. We have Miss Marvel, Beyond the Limit, number 1. While I rank this a 3, I then read number 2 later on, which you'll hear about. But I started to like it in terms of the story, and I picked up 3 and 4 because I wanted to see how it ended. So even though it was a 3, I wanted to keep going. But this is Miss Marvel goes to hang out with her scientist cousin, who is creating a tunnel to the multiverses. A strange figure attacks her cousin, and Miss Marvel stops the villain, but then has to take off for a flight back home. When she arrives back home, it is a weird Bollywood thing going on involving Loki. The next 3 out of 5 is Super Sleepy. This is like a tribute to Harvey Comics from Binge. And for those who love Harvey Comics, this will be right up your alley. The main reason I kind of gave it a lower rating than normal is like Harvey's usually in my wheelhouse, but most of the story is focused on Super Sleepy. Who's supposed to, you know, protect people in their dreams with his little sidekick Sheep. And it's very entertaining, but there's too much of it. And it takes away from all the other characters that they introduced. But it was still very entertaining, and I'd definitely go get it again. We have X-Lives of Wolverine. This is one interesting. I did not buy this. I decided to sit the X-Deaths and X-Lives out. And it showed up on the app the day of the release. So I just decided to read it. And it was pretty interesting, even though I gave it a 3 out of 5. I definitely would go back and read it digitally. But this is Wolverine tries to protect an Xavier family from Omega Red in a dream sequence to save baby Charles. Wolverine must travel to the past to save several mutants. We then get to the 4 out of 5s. From Scout Comics, we have Commander Rao. Enjoy this sci-fi one-shot. Felt like an animated short. It's about two women warriors. One gets injured and has to leave the other. Later, the injured soldier comes back and to take revenge for the killers that the woman that she left behind actually died. So now she has to seek revenge. We have Mega Number One. It's a story about a girl and her father getting a weapon from a ghost of her grandfather to summon another kaiju in order to fight one that has destroyed an entire city. This is a Red 5 book, and it's super... It's not the normal scale of a comic. It's actually bigger. If you were to buy bags for it, I would recommend, you know, magazine Mylars. But there is a part two that I haven't read yet, and I think there's a trade collecting one and two. I think it's from Stonebot Press, and Stonebot Press, I think, are items that come from Europe and then are repurposed for Americans here. But I'm not entirely sure. So we got Girl Scouts, Stone Ghost, Turtleneck Jones, and the one Girl Scout get betrayed by a little sperm ghost who is trying to protect his family. There is some backstory on the girl losing her boyfriend to cancer. Later, Turtleneck is killed, and it is just our heroine against the villain. There is a comic about Mofood, who's the artist and writer, getting his property optioned by Disney. And then after a couple of years of work on the project, it gets killed. So it's kind of heartbreaking for him. But now he's writing this comic. But he tells that, you know, in terms of comic book, what happened, where he's been. We have Tom Holland's Fright Night. Must read for Fright Night fans. It summarizes the movie, but then acts as a sequel. But I don't think it's the Dandridge's sister, but more like a lover of Peter Dandridge. We have Dungeons & Dragons Mindbreaker. Our team... We are visiting my folks. Okay, Rob just says he can't record. Mindbreaker, our team goes to a well-known port to rest. Each of them have their own demons to deal with. When a bone wielder notifies them of a sorceress stealing magic books that they are, and then they all get involved. I really like this. And I'm not the biggest Dungeons & Dragons. I think this was Jim Zub. But I really do want to continue reading this because it was really entertaining. Animal Castle number one is from Ablaze. It's like Animal Farm, really. The humans vanish and the animals take over the castle. There are the rich and then there are the peasants. This is a story of the peasants trying to survive in their new kingdom. We have Peter Parker. This is the Mark Howard Mackey stuff. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, this is JRJR, but this time he had a substitute of Bart Sears, so it's Bart Sears drawing Spider-Man. People are missing and taken in the sewers, and it's up to Spidey and Morrow to stop a vampire named Hunger. Is the Senator Ward behind this? Spidey asks for the help of Black Cat fighting the strange Spider-Woman. That's the Spider-Woman that's stalking all the additional Spider-Womans. Takes Maddie to the hospital after the fight with that said Spider-Woman. MJ has to put much trust in her agent. That's her talent agent handling the money. And now she has a stalker. MJ still does not know Peter is back in costume. Kingpin sends Bullseye after Senator Ward. Investigator Stacy, that's George Stacy's brother, the detective's brother, asks for Spidey's help. And then we question mark. Did Bullseye kill Stacy? Turns out he didn't. Amazing Spider-Man number 5. This is the John Byrne and Howard Mackey. Spider-Man finds out that someone is hunting down Spider-Woman. He goes out to save Maddie when she is fighting Mole Man creatures. Doc Ock created the new Spider-Woman not only to absorb all the other Spider-Woman's powers, but to draw Peter into to take his life. He barely escapes. He is still lying to MJ, and MJ is lying to him about the mysterious phone calls. Aunt May gets a makeover, and Flash needs help. A lot happening. Those were the days. The Winchester Mystery House, the secrets behind Sarah Winchester, and her crazy house. Very good issue. And this series is awesome. Source Point Press. Bermuda, number 4. This was the finale to the IDW. The MERS breakthrough. Bobby and Bermuda rescue his sister and return to their father. After Bobby sees Bermuda go back, he goes back to fight the MERS in this Bermuda Triangle. He feels obligated to go back and gets the help with pirates and other groups to defeat the MERS. We have Hellcop from Image Comics number 2. Our main detective is convicted of murder, murdering his partner. A friend helps him escape to the land of Hell that contains the death train, taking the dead to their final destination. He does not find his partner, but he does find a politician that might lead to why things are happening. We have Fight Girls number 3 and 4 from AWA. A contest in the water eliminates most of the competitors and then leaves the two women to fight to the death to become queen. The queen is determined at the end of issue 4, and I need to read that issue 5 to see what happens. Really good series by AWA. And the last 4 out of 5 is Alias Black and White from Antarctic Press. This is a reprint of the original source material. I can't remember who the publisher was in the original source material, but this is a reprint in black and white, whereas the original material was in color. An assassin, this is Chuck Dixon, by the way, an assassin kills an old man by becoming the fiancé of his daughter and then leaves. He then goes after a rich guy and teams up with another assassin, but he uses him to work his plan, and the dogs kill the other assassin. He was using that other guy as bait for the dogs because he knew the guard dogs were in this particular area. Meanwhile, there is an FBI agent tracking down our Alias character. Really good issue. I really liked it. Bill had the original comic and the black and white, and he kind of did a comparison of the two. But that was a fun issue. That's all I'm going to do this week. I'm going to do 1 week, although I probably could do 2. I am just beat to hell, and I want to read a comic before Barb gets here. So I am going to wrap this one up. You've been listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm glad to be back. You can contact me at Twitter, at Mike Myers Brunch, and you can send questions to me at Mike Myers Brunch, and I'll queue them up for the next episode. I only have, like, three more questions to go, so I could use some more questions. Also, you could send email to mike@comicbooknoise.com. I'd appreciate any email that you can give me. I'd appreciate any retweets of my podcast that you can give me and any conversation. So you can find it at geekbrunchpodcast.com and also on Facebook if you type in geekbrunch podcast with spaces in between and click the like button. You can follow all the episode threads there. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon, hopefully. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.